Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Amos 3. Let's go to God in prayer.
Great God, you are in control. Nothing happens without you. Help us to take warning and turn to you to repent. Thank you for warning us and giving us a chance to repent. I pray this through Jesus. Amen.
Amos 3. Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole clan that I brought up from the land of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the clans of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together unless they have met? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a fierce young lion cry out from his den unless he has caught something? Does a bird fall into a trapping net on the earth when there is no snare for it? Does a trapping net spring up from the ground unless it has certainly caught something? Or is a horn blown in a city and people are not afraid? Or does a disaster occur in the city and Yahweh has not done it? Surely, my Lord does not do anything unless he has revealed his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who is not afraid? My Lord Yahweh has spoken. Who will not prophesy? Proclaim to the citadel fortresses in Ashdod and the citadel fortresses in the land of Egypt and say, gather on the mountains of Samaria and see the great panic in her midst and the oppression in her midst. They do not know how to do right, declares Yahweh. Those who store up violence and destruction in their citadel fortresses. Therefore, thus says my Lord Yahweh, a foe shall surround the land and bring down your strongholds, and your citadel fortresses shall be plundered. Thus says Yahweh, just as the shepherd rescues two legs or a piece of an ear from the mouth of the lion, so shall the people of Israel who dwell in Samaria, with the corner of a couch and the damask of a bed, listen and testify against the house of Jacob, declares my Lord Yahweh, the God of hosts. For on the day I punish Israel for its transgression, I will also punish the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will ruin the winter house as well as the summer house, and the houses of ivory will perish, and the great houses shall come to an end, declares Yahweh. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. In the first two chapters of Amos, we had several messages against the nations, each one starting with, for three transgressions and for four. It covered the nations around Israel, including Judah, and then finally settled on the northern kingdom of Israel. For each of the surrounding nations, he only mentioned one of the transgressions, and many of them were things that they did in war to mistreat people. For Judah, the sin was rejecting God's law. Because Judah had received God's law, they should know better than these other nations. And then, the section about Israel was much longer, and it had to do with several sins, mistreating the poor and helpless, sexual sin, idol worship. God told them how he had given them everything, but they're against God, and they even tell the prophets not to speak. God tells them that they will be punished, and the people who are strong and fast will not be able to save themselves. Now, this chapter starts with, hear this word. And the next two chapters will also start with that phrase. God reminds Israel that he chose them and brought them out of Egypt, which gives him the right to tell them how to live and to punish them when they do not live that way. Then Amos asks a series of questions. They are all rhetorical questions with an implied no answer. There's an obvious cause and effect. The effect does not happen without the cause. They also hint of trouble. And finally, he gets to his point. Trouble will only come if Yahweh causes it. and Yahweh will reveal it to his prophets first. And now that Yahweh has revealed it, Amos must prophesy and tell the people. So he is saying that he wouldn't be telling them this if it wasn't true. Then Yahweh says to call the Philistines and Egypt to see the judgment that is coming. He says an enemy is coming who will destroy their fortresses and take everything of value. He uses a picture of a shepherd and a lion. The shepherd cannot save the sheep from the lion, but he'll just get a few parts, such as an ear, to take back to prove that he didn't steal the sheep himself. And that is all that will be left of the northern kingdom of Israel, a piece of a couch and a piece of a bed. God says he will judge the altars of Bethel and the fancy houses. He mentions winter and summer houses and houses of ivory. It was only the wealthy who had multiple houses and houses of ivory. And putting this together with what he said to Israel in chapter 2, I'm assuming that they gathered the fortune to have these fancy houses by oppressing people. And now for a deeper dive. A lot of people today do not like to believe that God causes problems. Somehow, they have this idea that when something negative happens in their life, it didn't come from God. It seems to me that they are imagining a God who is weak. One of the questions Amos asks with the implied no answer in verse 6 is, "Or does a disaster occur in the city and Yahweh has not done it?" He follows that by saying that God will first reveal it to the prophets, and that's why Amos is prophesying. God is the same today. He does judge. The negative things that happen today are also from Yahweh. In perhaps about 40 years after Amos prophesied, the nation of Assyria attacked and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel and took them away captive. Assyria was not a good, God-fearing nation, but God used them to punish Israel. God uses many things to punish us today. In the book of Joel that we read before this, it talked about a locust invasion that destroyed all their crops. All these things are in God's control. I would like to be self-sufficient and be able to handle any and every disaster myself. I'd like to have a well-stocked bunker that could ride out any disaster, but I will never be able to anticipate and handle every situation. And if I could, God could just invent a new situation that I never could have imagined. The only solution is to turn to God, which is what Amos is calling people to do. They need to repent of these sins. That is why God is telling them these things before the disaster. Now, God doesn't specifically warn each one of us about whatever particular disaster awaits us. We can see that everyone dies, and God has told us that there is a judgment. For example, Hebrews 9:27 mentions, "It is destined for people to die once, and after this, judgment." So, we have enough information to know that we need to repent and turn to God. And when the smaller negative things happen, in the meantime, we should see those as a blessing, of a warning from God. They are an opportunity to check ourselves while there is still time to repent. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.